Welcome to Luke 21 Radio, a broadcast explaining biblical prophecy in the tradition of St. Augustine. And now, from Greenville, South Carolina, here's your host, Steve Wood.
Hi, I'm Steve Wood, and thanks for joining us on Luke 21. Let's study some biblical prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at three easy steps to determine the timing of the rapture. If you'll remember, there's two basic views of the rapture. One view is that the true believing Christians will be caught up to heaven before the great tribulation occurs, when the persecution occurs, the great apostasy, the rise of the Antichrist, and they'll be in heaven for 7 years and then come back to earth. That's the pre-tribulation view of the rapture. The other view is quite simple, is that, and this is the historic view, that Christians will go through that seven-year period of persecution, intense persecution, and at the end of the 7 years, the church will be caught up to meet Christ in the air as Christ is coming back in the second coming. So what we call the resurrection of the dead, the rapture, and the second coming are simultaneous events. So what gives? Do Christians go through the tribulation or do they escape the tribulation? And of course, those key verses are 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15, 16, and 17. And whenever you get into discussion with someone about the rapture, it's described specifically in verse 17. But if you ignore the context of the surrounding verses, you can get it to mean just about anything you want. So we're going to start in verse 15 of chapter 4. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord. And again, that word in Greek is parousia, which is now an English word, straight from the Greek. The coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together. That word caught up is where the Latin word for what we're reading here, caught up, is very similar to the English word rapture. That's where it comes from. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Now, for those of you who don't know, I was a Jesus freak in Southern California in the very early 70s. If you watched the movie that recently came out entitled The Jesus Revolution, that's where I was, Calvary Chapel. I was attending a nearby Assembly of God college, and it was one of the most exhilarating times in my entire life. I was studying with the Assemblies of God, theology, bugging my professors continually about biblical prophecy, because when I heard about the idea that Christ is actually coming back to this earth and there would be a time at the end of history when believers would be caught up to meet him as God himself was coming back to this planet, man, I was mesmerized. I literally sat at the feet of Hal Lindsey in one of his seminars. There was a packed seminar, and so I sat on the floor, literally at the feet of Hal Lindsey, taking all this stuff in. Whenever Chuck Smith at Calvary Chapel was teaching on biblical prophecy, boom, I was there. Couldn't take enough in. And then I had a real problem. As far as I know, I'm the most committed person, or back then I was the most committed person to wanting the rapture theory as I was being taught. In other words, Christians will escape the tribulation rather than going through it. I really, really wanted it to be true, but I wanted to be sure it was true, and I ran into a problem. I couldn't reconcile 1 Thessalonians with 2 Thessalonians. And this was a major problem. But everybody was telling me, you know, that this is what's going to happen and such. So and people were throwing around Greek words and stuff. So even though I was lousy at languages, I just poured myself into trying to learn Greek, spent hundreds of hours doing it. And the first thing I did once I learned Greek was to go to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to see what I was missing. Because in the English translations, I couldn't see how the rapture theory, what I was taught about 1 Thessalonians 4, was in sync with 2 Thessalonians, particularly chapter 2. And so I got the Greek tools and all that, and my trouble just expanded because what the rapture theory taught is not in sync with 2 Thessalonians 2. So here we go. These are the three steps. And you don't need to know Greek this. All you need is an English Bible. Maybe a highlighter would help you out a little bit. So step one is you want to focus on the key word on the passage. Again, it's very often that someone teaching the rapture at any moment theory that we will not go through the tribulation will zero in on verse 17 and ignore the context of 15, 16, and 17. And when St. Paul begins telling this, he says, "We declare to you by the word of the Lord that we who are left until the coming, the parousia is the key word for understanding what St. Paul is talking about in 1 Thessalonians as well as 2 Thessalonians. So you focus on the key word because that key word will give you the context of what is being discussed. That's just step one. We've already done that, but I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. But it's also, if you know your Bible, and the better you know your Bible, or at least you think you know your Bible, this is explosive. So step two is that you compare 1 Thessalonians 4 with 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay? And 2 Thessalonians 2, starting in verse 1, reads as follows. Now concerning the coming of the Lord. Now concerning the parousia of the Lord. That is the exact, that's the precise, that's the same word that's used in chapter 4 and verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians. Here it is in 2 Thessalonians. Now concerning the coming of our Lord and our assembling to meet him, we beg you, brethren, do not be quickly shaken in mind or excited, either by spirit or by word or by letter, purporting to be from us, and don't get too excited about YouTube prophecy broadcast necessarily, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Let no one deceive you in any way. That day, what day? The parousia, same day being talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians 2. That day will not come unless key events describing what goes on in the Great Tribulation, namely the rise of the Antichrist in that seven-year tribulation, he goes, that has to happen first before the parousia. It's as simple as that. This is actually two steps to determine it, but they're going to come back at you. And they're going to say or claim that the word coming, parousia, in 1 Thessalonians 4 is different. It means different than in 2 Thessalonians 2. Okay, I have to collect myself because this is so overwhelmingly obvious, and yet millions of people who I would regard as my friends, people who take the Bible seriously, have been misled, and misled to the degree that if all true Christians are going to go through this tribulation, you ask, why in the world am I doing Luke 21? I'm concerned that there isn't a falling away of millions of good Christians thinking that they are not going to face the hard times but be delivered to them, and they find themselves face to face with an Antichrist kingdom persecuting Christians, and they're like, God abandoned us. No, he didn't. He's warning us. St. Paul warned these people early on. But anyhow, I got to get back to my topic. Okay, is the coming, the parousia mentioned in these two passages we've been talking about, do they have different meanings? Okay, here are five reasons, overwhelming reasons, why the word means the same in both passages. It is true that the same word in Greek, when you're doing real careful interpretation of Scripture, can have varying meanings, and you determine meaning by context and other things. I'm going to mention five things you can use to determine meaning, and you don't need all five, but there's all five present here to determine that it's the same meaning. First, we have the same author in both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, St. Paul. Two, we have the same recipients. And by the way, when I mention author, authors use words in certain repetitive ways. So this is one idea you get. And then two, we have the same recipients, because whoever's receiving an epistle, let's say, they have a certain understanding, certain framework. So as I mentioned, if you're living in Thessalonica, you don't have to study Greek to know what parousia means. It means like an emperor's visit, come to a town, the leading citizens go out to meet him and return to the town with him. That's simple. And so the Thessalonians are the same recipients in both letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's the same time frame. This isn't 10 years in between and, you know, situations changed. St. Paul had to leave this brand new church in Thessalonica, and he went south to Athens and Corinth. This is all taking place in what today we call Greece. Thessalonica was in northern Greece, but we don't know exactly how much time elapsed. It could have been weeks or a few months. It certainly wasn't a decade. So we have same author, same recipients, three, same time frame. Four, same topics and context is going on here. In other words, to find a word's meaning, and this is very important when you're looking at what a word means in the New Testament or the Old Testament, you look at the surrounding context, because the context gives you very strong clues as far as what's going on. Same topics here. St. Paul taught the Thessalonians prophecy. And for those of you in a church, like you have a new members class, or Catholics have what's called RCIA, it's an intro class to the Catholic Church. I doubt today many people would be instructed in this, but basically, this was taught in the early church to new believers. So it's same time frame, same topics and context. Therefore, it's the same meaning. And it's borderline ludicrous that it could mean otherwise. And I know it's very challenging. It was challenging to me to discover that what I had been taught by so many men that I profited from, that I admired, but they were in error. And as a result, I've been studying biblical prophecy for the next 50 years after this, after my time with the Jesus Revolution. But it wasn't on disappointment, because I will say my journey through the Scriptures and concentrating on biblical prophecy has been one of the most exciting journeys of my life. I'm Steve Wood, your host, and you've been listening to Luke 21.
Luke 21 is a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. Visit us online at luke21.com.